are great. Hallelujah. And we give you praise today. You are great. Your name is higher. Your name is greater than the name of Jesus. All power in heaven and in earth belongs to you, God. Hallelujah. 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 If you will wait, and while you are waiting, do not be nervous nor anxious, but while you're waiting, if you will depend upon me, I will give you comfort while the answer is coming, and then you will have comfort, peace, and power when the answer arrives. I will always be with you. I have not, nor will I ever forsake you, even in the midst of your steepest climb to your highest mountain, or when you go to the lowest valley you have ever walked through. There is no darkness that can keep back my light. Wait upon me, and while you wait, depend upon me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, God. You are so faithful. You are so faithful. You are so strong, and you are dependable. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Hallelujah. And when we don't know what step to take next, or if there will be a next step, we're just going to wait and depend upon you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Hallelujah. We receive it, Lord. That's right. We receive it. Go ahead and accept his word. We accept it, God. We accept it. From James chapter 2, the second chapter of James, and we'll begin with verse 14. God is helping us with our faith during this season that he has purposefully put us in of faith emphasis. And he's going to keep helping us to further develop our faith. He's going to be able to use our faith, and he's going to help us to activate our faith. Verse 14 of James 2, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? In other words, if he does not activate it, can faith alone produce the desired results of saving him? Verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, if it's not activated, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, without activation, and I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you faith put into action, he said. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that without works, without activation, faith is dead. You see then, verse 24, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or without activation is dead, lifeless, helpless also. God wants to, and he will help us this morning in activating our faith. Activating our faith. And you may be seated. When you think of what it means to activate faith, just think of that phrase often used, putting legs on your prayers. Someone said some of the most important time of prayer is what you do when you get up from prayer. How we live, how we operate with faith. Think of just natural illustrations. You can have a cell phone, you can have the phone itself, you can have the equipment. There can be cell towers close by, antennas. Signals are all around us being sent in the airwaves, but really none of that is effective until we activate the phone. Some kind of action is necessary. You can have permission or authorization to have an account and use the services provided in some kind of an account that you sign up for. But until we take the action to activate that account, we do not have those privileges or the benefits. You have to activate your credit card. You've got to connect with the company via the web or a phone call. Connect and communicate with that company. And you can't use the card until activation. It's useless. There's an activation code that you usually feed in, and then you got to hit the submit button, or you have to answer yes on the phone to the final question about, are you authorized and do you authorize this card? So we connect with those kind of things and we activate, and in fact, it's good to activate as soon as possible if you want to use the equipment or if you want to use the card. You know, until an unactivated card just does no good, I can carry one in my wallet or lay it up on the dresser, and I could even carry it with me into the store. But until it is activated, it does not have the power that I need for it to have. But once it's activated, you can use all the benefits and the powers that that card and that company will allow. When you activate your faith, you have all of the power of God and all of the power and the promises of God and His Word at your access. God is calling us to activate our faith. Now, it's important to read about faith. It's important to preach about faith. It's important to understand about faith, talk about it, sing about it. But I must tell you, that is not enough. At some point, if we want to do His will, obey His word, if we want to please Him and receive His intervention with the miraculous and answers of power, we must take some kind of action to activate our faith. Brother Spall was referring to faith, and I just happened to look down at Hebrews 11 this morning and caught that verse where it said, and the walls of Jericho fell down after they compassed the city. They did not come down until faith was activated, and the writer made that very, very clear. At some point, we must activate our faith. In other words, translate faith from knowledge only that there is faith and that it's good to have faith to an actual activity. In other words, we have to act. We have to respond. Works and action must join our mental assent to our faith. And the writer of the book of James was emphasizing that. Here are some examples in Scripture about activating or using our faith. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch walked. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Abraham went out, sojourned, and looked for a city. Through faith, Sarah conceived and gave birth. Activating faith means considering God's word over ordinary limitations. Take a look at the promises and the word of God, and we can see them. It is very easy to see them. It is a little more difficult after we see them to apply them. Now, it's also very easy to see the circumstances that are around us, the trial or the sickness or whatever. But what activating faith includes is to consider God's word higher and over ordinary limitations. Many of us today are facing some kind of a need, maybe a struggle, whatever it might be in our physical body, or maybe it's financial or whatever it is, or spiritual. But what we must do in order to activate our faith is to consider God's word above those. Abraham did that. He considered God's word over ordinary limitations. In Romans 4 and 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. It's talking about the birth of a child to come, and he is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old. But it says he considered not those limitations when he was about 100 years old, neither did he consider the limitation of Sarah's womb. She had not given birth to a child, so not only was she older, but the very fact that she had never given birth to a baby, she had been barren up to that time. But he considered God's word over the ordinary limitations. All of us face things today where there are some limitations. They're there, they are real, you are not ignoring them. And please do not act like they're not there, because that's reality. But here's something else that is reality. God can do the impossible. In the ordinary limiting situations, God can ride over or override those things that would seem to be obstacles to activating our faith. Thankfully, Abraham and Sarah complied with God to have that son Isaac. They did not say, there's no use trying. They did not say, there is no use to even hope for a new baby boy for this promise. But they complied with the word of God, and the scripture plainly says that Abraham considered not his own body. There are just some times we must not consider the limitations that are around us to the point of letting them be an obstacle to God answering and allowing our faith to reach out to God. Now, we need to consider them, but not to the extent where we consider them a hindrance and an obstacle and something that will stand in the way from that prayer being answered. I know that I preach to people who pray, and you have prayed about requests to this point, the ordinary circumstances would say that will never be answered. But God is the God of the improbable and the impossible. By the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to directly address, and I don't know what they are today. I do not know what they are. But those situations in your life where it looks so impossible, and we would tend to ordinarily say in these ordinary situations, there is no way that is ever going to be able to happen. I just want to answer with three words. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, sometimes you just got to speak your faith. Where's your evidence of that, Pastor? You're just kind of hyping us up for the sake of your message. I think you know me better than that. Somebody asked me this while I told them what I was preaching. They said, do you really believe what you're about to preach? Good question. Very good question. Do we really believe? Sometimes you just got to speak your faith. You know, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, father of many nations. He didn't have a child at that time. And then he certainly didn't have Isaac. And then for a while, even when he did have one, it was only one son through the promised seed. So when you greeted Abraham, you were saying, how you doing, father of many nations? When somebody asked him his name, he was saying, when he answered Abraham, I'm the father of many nations. You just got one kid. What are you talking about? I'm talking about faith. Every time he said, I am Abraham, he was speaking faith. Woo, wouldn't that be neat? Every time you say your name, it's just an expression of faith. You know, for some of us, it is true. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord. Woo. When your name sounds, you just know, I'm here by the grace and the help and the power of God and through somebody's faith. We just sometimes have to speak our faith. You know, Abraham didn't go around saying, I wish you wouldn't call me that. But he accepted. Every time Sarah called him for dinner, every time Sarah called him to do a little chore, he didn't say, oh man, I'm not the father of many nations. I'm not really Abraham. He accepted it and identified with it every time. God has said, you are his child. God has said, I have forgiven your sins. When you lift your hands and say, I'm thankful that God has forgiven me, you are claiming the identity and you are accepting the faith of God. And when God tells you he's going to provide, he is going to provide. He'll never go back on his word. Because he had given, the reason Abraham accepted that name is because he had been given a promise from God. God had given him his word. And he considered that worthy of believing. And he activated his faith based on God and that word from God. Let me just insert here. We are temporal. We're carnal. We're fleshly. We deal with the temporal world. The common temptation for everybody, there are none of us exempt from this, is to look at the circumstances that would ordinarily limit us and accept that's the way it has to be. But somebody needs to be an Abraham and say, I'll answer to that name that is a name of faith. I don't have it yet, but I'm going to receive it because God said, I'm going to be the father of many nations. Here's two very basic and important facts. But when you combine them, I'm going to tell you it's powerful. Here's the first one. God can't lie. The second one is, and we can believe. Woo. That makes it pretty simple. God can't lie, and we can believe. We can't work the problem out, but we can believe. I'm trying to figure this out. I think I've got a hold of it, and every once in a while I lose it. But when I pray for somebody, it's not my thoughts or it's not my job to figure out whether he will or he won't do it. I just need to know God can do it. Do you think sometimes we get sidetracked trying to figure out? I know I've thought about that before when people have come up to get prayed for. I start trying to figure out, okay, God, are you going to do this? Now, I will say this. If God tells you that he's going to do it and he gives you a word that he's going to do a specific thing, you can certainly believe that and bank on that. But when we pray in faith and when we activate our faith, it's not our job to figure out will he or won't he. It's our job just to figure out, is he able? Have you got it figured out? Have you got it figured out? We don't have all of life figured out, but I think we do have figured out God's able. That's the question I'm asking. Have you got it figured out that God is able? I can't describe how he's able. And I can't describe how that ability is going to work it out. I can't tell you every step of the complicated, but I'm preaching to somebody that's got a very complicated situation. But God is able. God is able. And what is too complicated for any of us to work out, all the ramifications, all the emotions, everybody that'll be affected, I can't figure that out. But I know that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above whatever you have asked or whatever you have even thought might could even be an answer. God can't lie and we can believe. One of the things that hinders us from activating our faith is our timing versus God's timing. That extremely extended timing and postponement of the promise did not dissuade Abraham and Sarah from continuing to activate faith. The promise, when you track it in Scripture, was given to Abraham when he was 75 years old. And Isaac's birth happened when he was 100 years old. God didn't answer for 25 years. Here's another thing I figured out. I can't figure out God's timing. But I know he has right timing. Somebody wrote a song, "He's an on-time God." And, you know, we've looked at our watches and the calendars and said, God's late. He's an on-time God. Our timing versus God's timing. It came 25 years later. 25 years of waiting. It may not be 25 for you. It may be 15. It may be 5 days. It may be longer than 25 years. The key was, and still is, he trusted God even though it took years for it to come into reality and come to pass. Here's what we learn in the not yet. The promise of God holds true regardless of time. Some of us are in the season of not yet. If you will be okay. And it's not an easy season to live in. But if you're okay in the not yet, and just trust God, we like the now yes season. All of us do. All of us do. But there's a not yet season where God continues to be God. He is not postponed. His power is not postponed. It's just a revelation of that power that in his timing, he is saying, I'm not choosing to answer yet, but I will answer you in the right time. And when you get that answer, you are going to rejoice and you are going to be strong. Ooh, my goodness, my goodness. You're in that not yet right now, but God is ever present. He's the I am before, during, and after our trial. He is faithful. Do you think, I think this, there were some people that probably says to Abraham, or maybe at least they probably talked it behind his back, yeah, but when is it going to happen? Name change. Father of many nations. Okay, let's give them 9 months. Let's give them a year. But you know, he is 76. Let's give him 5. Oh, he is 80. And then it starts rising. The doubt, the fear. What? When's it going to happen? But Abraham considered it not. Don't allow others to deactivate your faith. Or, I thought you said. Now, this is what hinders us many times from taking action and claiming and speaking the promises of God. We're not so much fearful of saying that. We're fearful of the aftermath of somebody coming along and saying, I thought you said that was going to happen. Well, God said it was. I just had a little idea. If anybody comes to you to say that, just send them to God. And when they start talking to him, that'll help several things. Including it will answer that question. Because God's the one that told me. God's the one that said it. He kept his faith alive and in motion for those 25 years. You know that blind man that was healed? According to Luke chapter 18, there were people that wanted to deactivate his faith. He starts crying out, And they rebuke him and said, hold your peace. You know what that cry out was? That was faith activation. That was his faith being activated. I know there was desperation included and there was need included. But literally, when it's all boiled down, somebody hollering out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, that's not a very pretty prayer and it's not a very fancy prayer, but it's a prayer that got the job done. And that's the kind of prayer that we can pray. It doesn't have to be just right. In fact, in those statements, he didn't even list his need. He just said, Jesus, I believe in who you are. I believe you're the Messiah. I'm going to stop right now. Somebody, all you have to do is lift up Jesus and your answer is going to come. Now, there may be others of us that have to do other things, but in this case, and that lesson is for you today. You can just, you know, what is it? I'm going to leave it on from up here because that's what I want it on. But Thomas, turn it off. Now there's a unique moment. The platform's usually saying more, more, more. When it's not there, you can still have faith. You can still speak the promise of God. And there's sometimes when somebody's going to try to pull the plug on your faith and try to deactivate your faith. You just got to keep on keeping on. The Bible says they rebuked him and they said, hold your peace. But you know what that did? That didn't. Well, I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to work anymore in there. That further activated his faith. It said he called all the more. He cried so much more. When somebody tried to hinder his faith or when some circumstance, what is it that's trying to quiet your faith? Is it doubt? Is it intimidation? Is it some form of fear? Is it peer pressure? But if you will activate your faith, I'm praying. I would love for it to happen today. I want it to happen today. But I want it for sure to happen at some point where we are not limited by peer pressure. Will there always be intimidation? Yes. Until we get to heaven. Whew, won't that feel good? We'll be able to worship any way we want to. We can throw our crown at his feet and there won't be any critic there saying, what in the world are they doing? Some little got it all figured out person said, you know, that's pretty disrespectful throwing that crown. Worship critiquers. Whew, but we just need to go ahead and activate our faith. Sister Diana did it this morning. She came down right in the midst of Bible class because she had gotten very sick. And she came down. Now, there, not only timing would have been involved in that, but also because of how sick she really was unsteady on her feet. And did have a little bit of trouble getting down to the front compared to a normal gait or walk. But that was an activation of faith, Sister Diana. And you have proven to be a woman of faith. Don't ever lose your faith. And you have already encountered some very severe sicknesses and lengthy seasons of sicknesses as well as other situations. But that is a simple, it doesn't have to be anything complicated. It may be that you just feel like saying, I'm going to stand on the promise of God. And one of the ways I want to illustrate that is I'm just going to stand right where I am. And so you stand. When you take a walk of faith, or when you take a walk of worship, what that is an activation of faith. We could have believed all day long, those Israelites, they did believe in Jehovah, and they could recite the law, but until they walked around the wall, until they walked around the wall and activated. Why? Because that was the plan of God. He said it takes faith and activation. It takes faith and work. So what is it that releases you and I to be able to activate our faith? Here's what it is. It's talked about in the book of Romans chapter 4. The Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Would you say those two words with me? Fully persuaded. I want us to do it again with a little more oomph in it, kind of like we really are. Fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was thoroughly convinced. He had full confidence, not in how God was going to do it, but that God was going to do it. Now, that begs the question, I need this, Pastor. I want this. I want my faith increased. How do I become fully persuaded? How do I have full confidence? Well, let's put it in human terms. The better you know a person, the more confidence and trust you have in them if they are trustworthy. So the answer is, get to know him better. Read more about him from his word, and you will become fully persuaded. It's when I depend upon the words of men and the thoughts of men that my persuasion wavers. But when I read his word and I see all that he has done, then I become more fully persuaded. Talk to him through prayer. In other words, increase your prayer time. And in that, you will notice a change and you will become more fully persuaded. Entertain and engage and enter his presence. Seek him and his presence. And when you enter that presence, let him lead. The better you know him, the more you will depend upon him. And the more things you will allow him to do. And the greater will be your persuasion that God is able. That God is all powerful. That God is omnipotent. I tell you what, I love that story about Elijah and that widow where he just comes by and God had sent him there and it was the will of God and it wasn't just the prophet's idea, but God sent him there. And I could read that story over and over again and every time be thrilled and be blessed. It just helps us to know him better. And she's got this handful, one handful of meal, and got that little oil in that little cruse, and she's going to bake the one cake that would make. But the prophet says, make me a cake first. And she obediently, in faith, does that. She felt like they were going to eat the cake and die. When she made the cake for somebody else, in accordance to the word of God, she lived on. So did the meal, and so did the cruse of oil. It's encouraging. Just read the word of God. Read about what it can do, and that you will become fully persuaded. Here's what we can say. God, if you did it for that little lady way back there thousands of years ago, you can still provide for me today. Now, God can do it any way, but he put a caveat on it. He said, you give to me first, and I'll take care of you next. And you know, God's math, It's beyond that ordinary limitation. To us, one, take away one is zero. So one handful of meal, and you take it away and you bake that cake for somebody else, that means zero left. That's man's math. But God's math, the ordinary limitation math, says, if I do this or if I give this, and it's going to, I'll have nothing left. But God said, one, take away one, equals enough for several more days and several more cakes. And the scripture doesn't really say the number of days, but that's because God can do it as long as he wants to do it. She activated her faith. And what may look like an impossibility and maybe trying to be the thing that keeps you from even responding maybe in the midst of the message or from coming down here a little bit later to believe God for that answer and to hesitate to ask that big. Man's math may say, no, there's no way it can happen. But not by God's power, not by his strength, not by his all-powerful ability. God is with you. Now, Hebrews 11 says, the people of faith, like Abraham, died in faith, not having received the promises, but they saw them afar off. We're all creatures of feeling and logic, thoughts. We like to figure it out. We like to feel like it's close at hand. It's about to happen. I'm just going to be honest today, okay? So if one of our men who's needing a job has had three interviews already and the last two really went good, that makes it a little easier to pray and a little easier to believe and say, you know, I feel like this is going to work out for you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if you really feel that, you need to say it, you know. But one point is, we kind of like the setup first. But these faith believers saw it afar off. They couldn't read the fine print. They didn't know everything that was entailed in the covenant. They just saw it afar off. But the Bible says they were persuaded. That's the way Elijah and that servant were. All they saw was that cloud, the size of a man's hand. But that was enough. They were persuaded. They just saw the embryo of the answer coming. They just saw the beginning seed of the answer to come. And I do preach to people today that God has already begun to show you the cloud that is the size of a man's hand. Activate your faith. Do what the servant did, go back to Elijah, and then do what Elijah did and said, we better hurry up. There's fixing to be rain. That's not the way I would have operated probably. Are you sure you saw? And it really, it is a little cloud. It is pretty small. But they saw it afar off. And they were persuaded. And when they got persuaded, they took the action, the scripture says, and they embraced them. The word embrace there literally means to enfold in the arms. They hugged it. That promise from the word of the Lord. I'm not saying everybody needs to do this, but I did feel a little nudge from the Lord. There wouldn't be nothing wrong with opening to a promise of God's word, pulling it up on your device, and when you come down here for prayer, just kind of embrace that and say, I enfold that in my arms. I welcome that promise from the Lord. I'm not going to shut the door on it or even just shut the screen door on it where it can still see in, but not let it all the way in. I'm going to welcome it in. I'm going to welcome this promise from God. And there may be others who don't understand your embrace of something that has been seen so far off, but God has spoken to you. And I've got a word for somebody right now. God has spoken to you. That is the cloud that's going to be a rainstorm. You talk about activating faith. Sometimes activating your faith is spooky and awkward. In fact, it is a lot of the time. He had to go tell Ahab, it's getting ready to rain. We're getting ready to get our answer from the Lord. But they embraced it. That's an action. That's an activation. You're embracing. However you embrace it, whether you hug a literal book or a device this morning, or whether you just wrap your mind around it and wrap your brain around it, when you have sinned, embrace that He's a forgiving God. When you have failed, when you have done wrong, embrace. Admit your sin, don't embrace it. Admit and embrace and confess to the Lord His forgiveness. When you're in need, embrace that He is a provider. We need to take care of, we need to address the stack of bills if they're there, the realities that are there. We need to admit those. But that's not your cancer. Sometimes we don't really mean what we're saying. We say, my headache. That's a headache in your body. But that's not yours. Yours is God. Yours is the healer. Yours is the one. When you are sick, embrace that He is a healer. And I know that I welcome the fact that He's a healer. I welcome the scripture that says, by His stripes, somebody can receive your healing this morning, and you will, because you will embrace the fact that God is a healer, and by His stripes, we are healed. That's another reason we lay hands on the sick. That's another reason we anoint with oil. Why? Because it's an activation of our faith. Stand with me if you would, please. Every time. The Bible uses the phrase to describe one way to pray. He calls it the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. And so, when we pray about a need, we are speaking faith. You are speaking faith. I want to encourage somebody today. Do not be discouraged because you have prayed oftentimes for the same request. That very likely does not indicate a lack of faith on your part. It could be about God's timing and His purpose. But you go ahead and pray again, because every time you pray, just like Abraham, every time he answered to his name, every time you pray is a speaking of your faith. So God wants you to activate your faith today. No matter how impossible the situation looks, and no matter how difficult or awkward it may be, but just activate the faith that you have in God. And somebody that needs God's help and God's strength. Listen, when you go ahead and worship God in the midst of going through a trial, that is a light to others. But it is a great strength to you, because you are speaking words of faith. Because others could stand by and say, well, man, they're going through one of the deepest, darkest trials of their life. They must be, here's what our mind plays with us about. They're being a hypocrite. They're just putting on. Not at all. It's just an activation of faith saying, it's not all right here, but you're all right, God. It's not okay what I'm going through, but you are supreme and you are good. Now, I just open this altar for an activation of your faith. Just whatever you need to do and however you want to respond, every step the Bible talks about, it's a walk by faith. So you are walking by faith. And toward faith and toward God. And whatever the need is, it doesn't matter. If you need salvation today, or if you need a healing today, or if you have a family situation or an emotional traumatic situation, just go ahead. Go ahead. It doesn't have to all get okay for you to be able to come and express faith. That's when it becomes okay, when God helps us. And you will, in the name of Jesus. Now, all over this house, would you just begin to call on the name of Jesus? We're going to sing in just a moment. But all over this house, would you begin to call out like that blind man did, all the more. I haven't received the answer yet. I've been going through that season of darkness now. But God, all the more, you're still able to take and heal the blindness. You're still able to send the light. It can come from an unknown and untoward source, one that we have not even thought about. God, I pray for the miraculous to begin to move right now. Hallelujah. You have always responded to faith. You have always responded to faith, Lord. You still do today. You still respond to faith, oh God. Oh yes, you are. You are faithful, God. That's it, somebody. Go ahead and claim provision. Go ahead and claim healing. Go ahead and claim a solved family situation. For God, you are able, you are able. We embrace it, Lord. We draw closer to you. Help us to become fully persuaded, oh God, in what we sense and feel and receive from you right now. Yes, he's able. That's right. He is able. You are able, God. We don't figure out time. Hallelujah. That's right. Go ahead. Pray about his ability. Pray according to his promise. That's it. Try to free your mind from worrying about how it's going to work out or trying to logically figure out how this is all going to come to pass. You are just doing what God wants you to do in activating your faith. Yes. Oh, thank God. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. You're so good, that goodness. It. Go ahead and pray it. Go ahead and receive it right now from the Lord. His hope, his peace. Yes, his promise, his promise. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that is impossible with you and through you. There is nothing too hard. We're believing it right now. We're believing for the answers that you are going to give according to your power and according to your timing. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, yes you will, Jesus. Yes you will, Jesus. Yes you will, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now another little further activation of faith. Would you just pray one for another if you want to converse and communicate the need or the general area of the need, you go ahead. But when we pray one with another, it's an activation. Yes it is. Go ahead, go ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Believe it now, Lord.